I'm going to review quickly. I was going to have you do it with me, but because of time, four healthy characteristics we looked at so far. Number one, we said understands and knows our mission as a church. What are we all about? And that's why I didn't read it earlier in the service, because we're going to say it together. Our mission is, say it with me, what you know, helping people from all ages and stages develop a faith that is real and friends that are true, so that we may think biblically, live distinctively, love like Jesus, to impact our world for him. Guys, you're getting it. Either that or your lips are moving. I think you're getting it. But that's our first healthy characteristic. The second, though, is to understand God's heart and his mission and participate with him in that. And we had a pretty big message, but I was trying to think, how can we summarize? And guys, I think we can summarize this by also quoting together. What is God's heart? John 3:16. Let's say it together. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. That's his heart, to sacrifice his own sin that you and I can have eternal life. That's the sign of a healthy church who understands and participates in that. Then we talked about understands the importance of disciples making disciples, and very excited about, we started that class. There are eight of us in there, and I'm just excited about it. I'm excited about the men and women that are in there, and I think we're having a great time just developing more disciples. Many of you already are discipling others. And the last one we talked about was strives to live missionally. Tony talked about this last week, Pastor Tony, in our own spheres of influence, with our own passions. What do we like? What do we do naturally? And how can we influence those people around us and serve as senders to people that are going all across the world? We do that as a church. Financially, we support them. We send them letters. We send them people to go visit them when they're in Japan, when they're in Bulgaria, when they're in Indonesia. We get people to go Azerbaijan, all over. We want to be a part of that. I wanted to follow up on one story. This, again, it's just fun how this works. Tony mentioned it last week. He talked about Tyler loves soccer. So Tyler decided to coach a soccer team. And that was cool. That's how he's getting influence, probably around 11 young men and their families. And he started it by having a barbecue at his house. And he asked, he wanted to mingle with the people. So he said, will you come and cook? So yeah, I cook, because you always get to taste all the food anyway. So you just eat what you want off the barbecue before you give them the rest. So I said, yeah, I'll cook. Well, that night, then Tyler introduced me. He said, hey, this is my father-in-law. I think he might have said father by choice, something nice. And he said, his name's Will. And he's the pastor of Firm Family Church in town. So just kind of opened a little door. So once I finished cooking, I just started visiting with different dads, and I just loved getting to know them. So I met this one guy, and I'm talking to him, and just found out he was you guys are occupational therapists. He's a physical therapist. So I said, oh, physical therapist, where? In the hospital. I said, oh, wow, I know a lot of people there. By any chance, long shot, do you know Casey Millerick? He's an occupational therapist. He said, yeah, I know Casey. He is a great guy. As a matter of fact, Casey's had me over to his house for dinner. And guys, again, just a sphere of influence, how it's connecting. And so there's another case. He just is loving people at his work, inviting them to his place. So now this young man has a friend at work. He has a guy coaching his team. And I just think they're going to see the love of Christ through those two guys. So that's where we've been. Today, we're going to look at the biblical and practical reasons for team ministry. Okay, so I'm going to give you some practical and some biblical reasons why I think it's good to do ministry in teams. We'll start with the biblical reasons. And I think that the first part, I knew that, but I think the end, you might be a little surprised. But one of the biblical examples is Jesus himself chose 12 disciples to do ministry with. He worked with them because he was going to leave them and they were still going to be here. And I love somebody said today, we've all been invited to join that team, to be disciples of Jesus, to be workers for Jesus, to be carrying on his message. We're all a part of that big team. But the other thing is, when Jesus sent his disciples out, he did not send them, say, Matthew, you go to there. John, you go here. He sent them out two by two. They were in a team when he sent them out. And then here's the part I think that's interesting that sometimes we miss. Most of us think that the Apostle Paul wrote and did all the ministry in the New Testament. Not all of it, not the Gospels, but all the epistles. We think those are Paul's letters. Well, listen, 1 Corinthians was written by Paul and Sosthenes. 2 Corinthians, Paul and Timothy. 3 Corinthians, and when he starts, he always says, he doesn't try and get all the credit, he says, written by Paul and third, Galatians, Paul and all the brothers with him. He didn't listen, but he's saying we're all together. Philippians, Paul and Timothy. Colossians, Paul and Timothy. First and Second Thessalonians, Paul, Silas, and Timothy, and back to Philemon, Paul, and Timothy. So we see that there was a biblical model of team. It wasn't just all Paul. We think it was all Paul because he's kind of a strong, loud voice and very powerful, but he had people with him doing this. And then there's some practical reasons for this. One is the balance of strengths and weaknesses. No one is omnicompetent, can do everything well. Now, some of you can do a lot of things well, but give me a chance I can find something you can't do well. Maybe you can't make an egg sandwich. There's something probably you can't do well. And so a team's going to bring out strengths and weaknesses. It's a better use of the variety of gifts that God gives. You put a team together and people are gifted different ways. And we're looking at that in a minute from the scripture. We're going to talk, Lord willing, 2 weeks from now about, I believe the Bible teaches every single one of us has been given a gift, at least a gift from God to use for other people's benefit and his glory. So that's what's coming up in 2 weeks. I told somebody, if I was smarter in planning, I probably would have planned that message first and the teams after, but you're just going to have to remember about when I talk about every member has a gift, remember that, oh, I should use that gift to be on a team. But I'll remind you, don't you worry. Third reason, practical reason, is accountability. In a team, hopefully it's going to help you. One of my friends asked me, he just recently retired. I don't know how he did. He's younger than me. I can't figure it out. He's better shape than me. He looks better than me. I don't know why he's retiring. But he did. And he told me, he said, Will, he goes, you can be praying that my wife and I will do what we should as opposed to what we want to. Because he realized he could. He's an orthopedic surgeon, retired. He's doing quite well. They could just check out and just spend the rest of life living for themselves. And he knows that they still have a lot of things to give to their church and their neighborhood and their people. So he said, pray that we'll do what we should, not just what we could or what we want to. Fourth reason is encouragement. Ministry can be hard. But guys, I want you to know, I believe it is hard, but I also believe it's worth it. It's kind of like marriage. Now, some of you I know have the perfect marriage and you've never had a mad moment, MAD, marriage adjustment discussion. But we've had a few over 45 years, and we'll probably have a few more in the next 45, Lord tarries, and I live to be 138 or whatever it would be. But it's just like marriage in the sense of marriage can be hard, but it's one of the best things I've ever experienced. And I think ministry can be hard, but I think it's one of the best things I've ever experienced, is going to see people's lives change and helped. The last one is more boots on the ground, or by that, many hands makes light work. A team really does that. This weekend, Mallory, our daughter, I'll point out to you, but she had a dream of building a team. She wanted to build a team that would minister to people who had a need for meals. We do a great job with our babies, right? When the baby's born, give meals, but there's other needs. And so she built a team, and I don't know exactly, but let's say it's going to end up being 30 people. That means they will probably about once every 4 or 5 months make a meal for somebody in need. That's everybody can, well, you wouldn't want me to make a meal for you and bring it over. If I sign up, you know I'm going to Chipotle and bringing that over. Don't worry, I'm not going to make you anything. Lindy will make you something, be a 5-course meal. But again, that's light work. Nobody's going to have too much to do. And yet people are going to be blessed very greatly because many hands make light work. Now, all that's introduction, if you can believe it. I've asked Carl Hoff to come up and read 1 Corinthians 12, verses 14 to 20. So he's going to read that. And if we could stand out of honor and reverence for God's word, he'll read it. It's on the screen as well.
All right, 1 Corinthians 12, 14 through 20. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body.
Thank you, Carl. We're lucky to have Carl here. This is harvest season, and Carl works with all the farmers.
By the way, love the story about the tractor.
Jack, there you go. Benny got a tractor, speaking Carl's love language right there. Guys, just going to make some quick observations from the passage. There, you see them, but I'm going to point them out, because then we're going to have three different people, well, really, one person, well, three different people who are involved in a team, and maybe some of them are a couple of team members, share about team ministry. And I think, and again, they've each been allotted 2 to 3 minutes. So if they go over 3 minutes, just stand up and say, time's up. You got to sit down. Next gap. No, don't do that. But they're going to be short, but you're going to be blessed, I think. Some observations that we see Paul using the brilliant the illustration of the church, the community being like a human body. Because he says all the parts are needed. Not just the ones that are up front teaching, not just the ones that are leading worship. All the parts are needed. They're different, but they're all valuable. They're all needed. Second thing is that we need each other to be a healthy church. We wouldn't be healthy if we didn't have those different parts. Third is God in his wisdom created us in such a way that everybody has something, but nobody has everything. We need those different parts. And last one is Paul, one of those who felt excluded or insignificant, to know they were indeed needed and significant. Because he's saying, well, what if I said, I'm not the eye, I'm just this. He's saying, no, you're important being the foot, or you're important being this. And so that's just a little bit of just, again, all the parts were essential. Together they did great things together. So again, I said I'm going to share as far as 2 to 3 different teams, but let me say this though. Last count, which was about 2 years ago, Mike and I went through and we tried to add up every person we know that's involved in ministry, in our church, involved in some way ministering, serving, loving somebody in an intentional way, in a circle. There are 165 of our people in our church that are doing that. That is a very high percentage, which is very, very cool that are doing it. But we're going to hear from a few of them, and each of them is going to come with a different reason why they're coming up to share. So I'm going to start with Tyler, and then you'll just follow. It'd be Tyler, then Janae, then the shepherds. And Tyler's going to talk about how that he kind of had a unique vision of dreaming a dream, a little different than most of our teams. So I'll let him tell you about that. Meanwhile, there's nobody at the tech booth. The place could blow up because this is the team that's running the tech. Well, there he goes.
Pastor Will asked if I would just share a little bit about my heart. So for me, I think it's really important not to just attend church, but to also find ways to get plugged in. So for me, I have a passion for music. I have a passion for running sound. And I also have a passion for running slides. That's nerdy, but I'm passionate about slides. But I think that's a small way that really serves the body and it gives God glory. So I like finding those ways kind of in the background, too, where we can get involved. So in the past year, I asked my Kieran Connor, 10 and 9, if they would be willing to come up and learn the sound booth, run slides and run sound. And so we've been doing it for about maybe 6 months now. And my dream is that as they grow up, they'll have a skill that they can take with them for the rest of their life where they can get plugged into church. I've never seen a church that said, oh, we have enough people running sound and we have enough people running slides. It's a joy too for me to serve alongside them. So I just encourage you guys to find a place that you're passionate about, and if there's one not there, to come up with an idea. And I will say, if you don't have an idea where to start, come find me, and we'll get you in the sound booth, and we would love to have more help back there, so thanks.
No words, Connors, Kira, sing a song, do a dance, nothing, just going to run down the aisle again.
Hi, I'm Janae Harvey. I'm the one that you get all the meal train links and emails for. And I don't know that I dreamed that dream, but I think each time that I send out a meal, I'm just inadvertently building a team. So I thank you all for being a part of that team. And I feel like for me, one way it practically encourages me to do that or motivates me to do that is that our church so intentionally reaches out to each other. We've talked about as a family what it would look like if we welcomed in another foster baby and the burden that could be, the blessing that it could be. And one of my kids, when we were talking about it, said, people will show up. Like, people will just come and help us. And that's because of all of you. Like, that's because we have a church where people come and they bring meals, or, hey, I have this extra baby clothes that my kid grew out of, or I'll hold a baby. Oh, you're tired? I'll come so you can take a nap. Like, we serve at church. We're just in a church where people show up. And I think that's intentional in our church leadership and an intentional choice that they've made, which I am so thankful for. And I think it's intentional in each of our homes as well to be people who do show up for others and to be people who are vulnerable and say, hey, I need someone to show up. So I thank you all for showing up when I send out those meal train links and just loving our body, because I think it helps our families, but it is building, it's a mindset in our children, and it's changing their hearts to know that the people of the Lord show up. Amen. And they show up for those who love the Lord, and they'll show up for those who don't, so that they can be the hands and feet mm-hmm. of God to those people who need God's love. So,
Amen.
Thank you.
Thanks, Janae. Here's our wild cards. These are the ones. Be ready. Ran? Don't worry, Christy probably won't talk. Just so you know, Christy tried very hard to get out of this. When I asked her, she tried, and then she tried again this week, said, oh, Will, we have the snack cart, so I don't think I'm going to be able to be two places at one time. I said, Christy, nice try. Your daughter's, I saw them leave. They're going to take care of the nut Greg's cart for you.
I think she said the chickens needed her that.
She did it the first time. She did. That was her first excuse, the chickens.
Well, we are the shepherds. I'm Rand, and this is Christy, and Will asked us to share how we are blessed by mm-hmm. serving on the servant ministry team, or we call it MMM, too, Meaningful Menial Ministry. So we're blessed in the fact that we both like to serve, so it's right in our wheelhouse to serve, and we like to work hard, and we like to work behind the scenes. You don't have to be up here speaking like we are today to be part of that ministry. Unless you're Mr. Wardrobe Malfunction guy over there, but he likes that. But anyway, you know, we're blowing off the patio or filling up communion cups. You know, there's so much to do behind the scenes. So that's what we love to do, and working together and being the hands and the feet. You know, it's rewarding. You know, we do it because we like to do it, and it is rewarding. And it just makes us feel more part of the church as well. Mm-hmm. And as Will says, you know, we're going from rows to circles. So, you know, we meet as a group, too, every quarter. So we sit and plan, and we have lunch and hang out. And a lot of times we get to work together here, too, usually like Christy and I or Kate are doing something together, and, you know, other teams are doing something somewhere else together. So we're not actually all working together at one time, but you know, we've created that unity, and going from rows to circles, we've been able to meet more people that we probably wouldn't have in the church, and so that's been meaningful to us, just to be involved that way and getting to know other couples as well. So, and here's Christy.
He promised me a Starbucks if I did this, so anyway,
and a chicken.
Yeah. So I think I was thinking about what
Starbucks from heaven.
Yeah.
Oh, it's Dutch Bros. So close.
Yeah, not the same. No, I think I thought about what was the most meaningful part of this for me, and probably the most unexpected. And I think back to Bruce and Linnell Wren, mm-hmm. and dear friends of ours in Tennessee now. And one of the things they always told us was pray for your kids, that whether it's you're not physically close, or you're separated, or just going through a phase, pray that God would put people in your kids' lives that will be there when you're not there, or when they can't talk to you, or just when they need somebody else there. And I think when we started doing this was the first school that we met at. I forget the name of the school. Neil Dow. And Peyton would go and help move chairs with Rand, and just different things like that. It's just small, moving chairs. And then they asked us to do this. So it was coffee and just doing things like that. They did ask for greeting too, and that one wasn't my forte. So if you start to sign up for something that's not yours, it wasn't frowned upon to go, you know what, this is not me. Too much, too soon, too early, not enough coffee. But coffee I could do. So just to see how my kids have rubbed elbows with people in our church and what it's done in their lives. And I think that's my favorite part, not just for me. I echo all the things Rand said, but so cool that as Peyton moved out of the house and to call him and say, hey, you want to come over Sunday? And he's like, no, I'm going over to the Stovers for a barbecue, or I'm going to go rafting with Phil Swingle, or I'm going to do, and then Kate's off riding with Mallory, or she's babysitting for the Schwartz. And all that is just because my kids rubbed elbows, mm-hmm. and they got to know people, and mm-hmm. it's so little, but just to give a little bit where you're comfortable, and to see how it's blessed my kids, mm-hmm. and how God has put his people in their lives when we weren't there.
So. Amen. Amen.
I told you, she's a talker.
There you go. Kissy, there you go. You got to take it. Thank you, man. Guys, just to show you how fun it is to serve, Time really flies when you're past. What passes fast? Half times. The servant ministry team meets every month, not once a quarter. But Rand's there every month. I just think he just doesn't remember how fun it is. But guys, it really. I was going to read some things on that particular team because it is a larger team. But they meet monthly to plan. They patio prep every week. They come early to blow that out. Trash, leaves, dirt. Coffee prep for you. They set up the snack cart. The snacks are sought. There's one of them that just kind of sends out that asking for them because it takes a lot of people to cook them. And then they serve them out there. They greet weekly. They do the sanctuary in between the two services. They reset this up because some of you just knock your tables over, chairs over something. And they prepare communion. So that's just some. But again, I personally think I've watched that servant ministry team because I'm a part of it and see them. They've made a lot of friends in there. And some of them didn't know that many people, but now they do. So it's really fun. Well, guys, so what? We've got about 4 minutes just to say, so what? Team ministry is a good deal. Here's two applications I hope you'll walk away and say, I can do that. Number one, whenever anything good happens to you, find somebody to thank and thank God for somebody. In other words, anything that's good is happening, somebody's behind it. God prompted their heart to serve in some way, whether it be this tech team. And again, we're not just talking about church, talking about life. I used to tell kids at school, like if you're on a team and the bus takes you to Mammoth and back, thank the bus driver. He's did it for you. So whenever anything good happens, find somebody to thank. Thank God for somebody. We need each other. We need to let people know that, so that nobody feels insignificant because we're all significant. The second one is that idea of dream a dream, build a team around something that you love doing. I love that Tyler said, he is a nerd. Trust me, I know him. He is. But he loves that stuff, electronics, computer, sound, lights. So find something you love doing and build a team around that. A phrase that I've heard and I use is, if you have a vision, you lead the mission. If you have something, dream it and do it. Now, a couple of practical helps in doing that. One is this, what we use as a staff. If you come to us and say, hey, I want to dream a dream, man, I'm going to encourage you, excited about that. But I'm also probably going to give you a little card this, and there's some on the back table for you. These are the 5 P's I think of how to build a team. First of all, do you have a passion for what you're doing? Or you have a passion about what you're going to be doing? Is there a purpose behind it? Is there a partner with you in it? So the team can be just 2 of you. It could be 10 of you. Servant ministry is probably, 22, 24. Partner, a plan, and then prayer. So that's how you build a team. You can do it. Anybody in here can do it. So I encourage you to think about that. We do have a lot of teams here. There's a foster care team. There's worship teams. There's child care teams. There's children ministry teams. There's a prayer team. And it's no official. They just show up every Sunday morning and pray. Anderson's and Johnson's. There's very sunny. If they're in town, they're there. Operation Christmas Child. Again, you hear Chloe, but she builds a team. Every year she does it, and probably about, I don't know, how many do we have last year? Like 130 her team is, because you fill out 130 boxes. So that's another way. A team I put together today, 14 different people were part of this service today. They were a team to use this day to glorify God, hopefully, and equip you. Now, in closing, want to do a couple, just one thing, and that is I want to make sure you know that everyone knows there are different seasons of life and opportunities to serve. Not all of you are in an opportunity right now. If you've got 3 little ones at home, I doubt you're going to be able to do a whole lot of serving outside of that. You're serving every day, taking care of your family. We get that. We know that. So make sure we know that. But I'll probably go to my grave talking about there's following Jesus, this narrow road with ditches on both sides. One ditch is you don't know the word no. So when anybody asks you, you say yes and you overcommit. Learn that saying no to one thing is saying yes to another. But the other ditch is you don't know the word yes. And you say no to everything. And I just encourage you that the narrow road is somehow learning what do I say no to? Because to say no to one thing is saying yes to another. What is God leading me to say no to? And what is he leading me to say yes to? You will find great joy and purpose in rocking that narrow road. It will bring fulfillment to you, just like all the people talked about. If you talk to me individually, they say, yeah, we love doing what we're doing. We love being a part of serving. So that's what I encourage you to do. Just be praying, asking God, how can I learn, help me to learn what to say no to and what to say yes to. Let me pray, and then we're going to sing the doxology. Who's ever leading us, Brenton, go ahead and come up when I'm praying, and then I'll come up. Father, thank you for this day. I do thank you for the 14 people that led us today in one way or another, by sharing, by speaking, by reading a book, by playing music. And Father, I pray that our church would just see the beauty of being a part of a team, whether it be a team of 2 or a team of 20. that Father might just find ways to use the gifts, the passions, the love you've given them, and that you've given them for other people and other ministries to be put into effect. I pray that you would help, Father, each of us learn what do we need to say no to in order to say yes to the things you prompt our heart to say yes to. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.